Thanks, Rob. Yes, this is Download here, 720 WGN, the Chicago Cubs. One half a frame away from clinching the NL Central. Kevin Powell is down at Busch Stadium where the plastic is being put on the visitors' locker room right now. The Cubs with a 5-1 lead going into the bottom of the ninth inning. Kevin, what's the atmosphere like there? I mean, obviously they're on the road. There's a lot of St. Louis fans there. They're still sort of in the playoff hunt, but a lot of fans travel?
Oh, yeah, and especially tonight when everybody knew this could be the clincher. Tonight and last night, there's a ton of Cubby blue sprinkled throughout the ultra-red Busch Stadium here. So a ton of Cub fans. I'm sure they're going to be sticking around, maybe get sprayed with some champagne if they're able to hang on to this thing. But, yeah, the Cubs offense really wasn't able to figure out Michael Wacha until the seventh inning, and then they put up five runs or so in that inning and six hits, something like that. So this is what we saw them do last year. You know, third, fourth time around seeing a pitcher, that's when this offense erupts. And, you know, going forward, I think teams with the best bullpens are going to have a shot with this team, because when this lineup sees a pitcher three or four times around in one game, it's dangerous. They're proving it's just as potent as it was last year at this time.
Well, one of the great positive storylines, Addison Russell, who has had an up and down, mostly down season this year, comes through with the big home run tonight. Addison Russell seems to be getting back into the groove right in time for the playoffs.
Yeah, he had so many injuries. And I think, you know, look, it's going to be great if they can if they hang on here. The cherry on top of it all is that they're going to be celebrating in front of the Cardinals. First time they'll win a title in St. Louis since 1938. So, you know, the other part of it, the bigger picture, is that the Cubs are going to get to rest. And they need it. Everybody's a little banged up right now at this time of the year. So Joe Maddon talked about it. Chris Bryant admitted before the game, he said he would love to, you know, get a few days off, get some rest, and get, you know, pick their feet up a little bit before the postseason. So this would be huge to get this out of the way. It doesn't hurt that it's in enemy territory.
Right. The other part of this story, too, is that this, if it does stay the same here in the ninth inning with the Cubs leading 5-1, the St. Louis Cardinals, this is a huge, huge problem for them as they are inches away from being eliminated in wild card scenario.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and we've seen it the past few years now, right? Like 2 years ago, the Cubs beat the Cardinals in the postseason. Last year, the Cubs win it all, and now this year they're probably clinch on Cardinals territory. The NL Central looks a whole lot different than a few years ago when everybody was looking up to the Cardinals. It's changed, and I think it changed last year once the Cubs put the exclamation point on it and won the World Series. But especially now, like these are the sorts of moments that you felt like the Cubs dealt with for years. You know, teams winning on their home field, and the Cubs chasing and looking up to other teams. But it's changed now. It's flipped. Everyone is looking up to the Chicago Cubs right now.
Well, Wade Davis is on the mound as he gets ready to mow down the St. Louis Cardinals in the bottom of the ninth to take this 5-1 victory to final. Kevin, what about the fans there? I mean, I would assume with the 4-run lead that you might see some Cardinal fans heading for the exits. They don't want to see, as they do a sort of wide-angle shot at Busch Stadium right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of empty seats as Cardinal fans don't want to be a part of this.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of in the tunnel near the clubhouse right now, and there's a, kind of a lounge area with TVs, and fans can kind of hang out there, drink their beers, relax. And right when I got down here, I heard a couple – Cardinals fans, man, I don't want to see them celebrate on our field, and that's probably going to happen here if they can hang on. So a few of them were heading out, but they were, I think, clinging on to any hope that one, they can avoid the seeing the Cubs celebrate at Busch Stadium, and two, their playoff hopes, which were already very slim heading into this game. But man, the Cubs have a shot here to be popping champagne in St. Louis and pretty much eliminating the Cardinals out of the playoff picture.
Yeah. You know, Kev, when I think about it and I look at this, I mean, you've been a part of I mean, obviously the Cubs in the last 3 years have shown themselves to know how to celebrate. What do we expect? I mean, obviously they're on the visiting field, so they're going to possibly be in a position where, you know, they make a lap for the fans that are there at Busch Stadium? Do they go right to the locker room?
I was told they're going to do something sort of quick on the field and then head into the locker room. I think they're going to be classy about this whole thing and not really rub it into the face of Cardinals fans. They'll spend a little time out in the field, but I think much of the rowdy the rowdy celebration will likely be going on in the clubhouse, and that's why all the media around me right now are putting their raincoats on or champagne coats. If at this time of the year we call them champagne coats, I guess, but everyone's kind of gearing up for that. And yeah, I think you're going to see some pictures and some things on the field, but you know, plenty of craziness happening in the Cubs clubhouse. It should be fun.
Do the Cubs, the players and the coaches, do they take it seriously that they won this division? I mean, is this a serious celebration, or are they at the point where they're like, hey, we don't celebrate till we get to the second, third round of the playoffs?
Joe Madden was asked about that, and he shot that down immediately. And I think that's something you have to appreciate about the Cubs, and Theo Epstein has said this. He says winning is sacred, and if you got a shot to win, like a legitimate shot, you go for it. And that's what the Cubs did this year. I mean, don't forget, they're going for it. They traded all their prospects this year to get Jose Quintana to shore up the catcher spot with Avila and Justin Wilson, who struggled again today. That's a whole nother story. But they went all in on this after winning a World Series. A lot of teams can pull off the pedal a little bit and make sure you don't spend, give away too much of your farm system. But if you're in a position to, A, get back to the postseason, win your division, and fight for another World Series, you go for it. And Joe Madden talked about that. He says once you become complacent with winning, no matter what it may be, then you're in trouble. So I think you're going to see a full blown celebration here tonight. I don't think you're going to see anybody holding back. I'm serious. I think they understand the magnitude of this. I think they're going to be a little bit ramped up. It's in St. Louis. I think they're going to enjoy that. But no, they're not going to downplay the fact that they won the division is for some reason not big anymore because they're the reigning champs. It means something. It definitely means something.
You know, one thing we pointed out here on the download and just in general in Chicago media is that the Cubs had a tough road of it. They had four games in Milwaukee, the four game set here at Busch Stadium. They're finishing on the road. But as it turns out, they took care of business. I mean, they essentially pushed the Brewers right out of the division race. And here with the Cardinals, I mean, this is only game three of the series, but they look to be taking two of three already and clinching a division. So, again, road warriors in the way that they seem to play well away from Wrigley Field.
Yeah, and if you look over the past few years under Joe Madden, the Cubs have won something close to like 70% of their games in August and September. I think you can look at a couple things there. I think Joe Madden is a really good manager, despite what some of you Cub fans may still, game seven, no matter what happens, even though they won the World Series, some Cub fans are still bitter about the way Joe Madden handled it. He's a really good manager, and he understands the importance of patience and rest and sort of the rhythm of the season. He's been around for a long time, and, he keeps his guys fresh, especially now this season. They weren't going to push it too hard. They were under 500. I mean, don't forget that. They were under 500 going into the All-Star break. And they've absolutely turned it on in the second half, especially as of late, winning 11 of 14, 11 of 13, something like that. So they know when to put the pedal to the metal at the right time. And, I think that's credit, obviously, to the players, but, and the depth they have. I think that's something we can't talk enough about. It's so much depth and the versatility from guys like Ben Zobrist to Ian Happ, guys that can play multiple positions. That allows Joe Madden, before the past two seasons, we're like, how are they going to get all this talent on the field? Well, you don't have to have it all on the field at the same time. You can rotate these guys and keep guys fresh and then play matchups and things like that. So That's Theo and Jed building this roster, and that's Joe Madden managing it and doing a phenomenal job with it.
Well, right now the Cubs have two outs. Wade Davis mowing through. There's they've had the great catch by Jason Hayward down the right field line, and right now an 0-2 count.
Speaking of Wade Davis, sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
You can make an argument. He's the MVP of the year. Because what would this bullpen be? Where would this team be if Davis wasn't on this roster? He's been an absolute rock. He didn't blow a save until last weekend in Milwaukee. Other than that, he's been lights out. This biggest weakness on the Cubs right now is that bullpen. There's some definite question marks there, but you can go to Wade Davis, and I'm really interested to see how Madden's going to use him in the postseason. Does he use him like one of those fire extinguisher guys where you bring him in important situations, no matter what the case, which we saw throughout the entire league last postseason, right?
I mean, bring him in the seventh inning, right?
Yeah, you bring your best reliever in the most important situation. I'm really interested to see if Madden implies that implements that with Davis, although we haven't really seen it in the regular season. He's a rock. I mean, he has been their most consistent arm out of that bullpen. And imagine if Wade Davis wasn't on this roster.
Right, if they had trouble in the back end, right?
the Davis for Solaire straight up trade. Never forget it. That may be the robbery of the season.
All right, Kev, 2-2 count here. Wade Davis pitching to DeJong, who's up to bat right now.
DeJong, Paul DeJong. He's an Illinois State Redbird. I might as well plug that really quick.
He was. There you go, Illinois State. DeJong up to bat right now. 2-2 count, foul ball. So the bottom of the ninth inning right now, the Cubs with a 5-1 lead over the Cardinals. You know, it is interesting because
– yeah, you can see Cub fans now. Sorry again, Justin. They're all lingering over the dugout. They're ready to explode. So, obviously, winning is not getting old for Cub fans, although this might be new to pretty much everybody, this sort of dominance over a couple-year stretch. It's not getting old.
Yep, they're chanting. They're chanting, "Let's go Cubs" right now at Busch Stadium. They're holding up babies. Everyone's moving down to get as close to the field as possible. It's Wade Davis is a chance to finish out a 1-2-3 ninth inning right here. The Chicago Cubs with a 5-1 lead. The fly ball.
Martin will not get it.
Oh. So the Cardinals almost at it there, but the Cardinals, DeJong, your Illinois State Redbird, comes up with a double in the ninth inning. I blame this on you, Kevin.
Yeah, well, that's what Redbirds do. We can continue to compete out there. I apologize to Cub fans out there, but Redbirds keep battling, whether it's an Illinois State Redbird or Cardinals. So, yeah, this is a ton of anticipation. They've been looking forward. They know what they did. And Jason Hayward talked about this before the game, that, or even last night after the loss, was, okay, we lost. We wanted to get this out of the way as soon as possible. But, you know, they're proud of the fact that they built – you know, a little cushion in this division. You know, you got to give them credit for that.
They did.
And allow them to pull this off. And the Cubs, for the first time in over 100 years, are headed to the postseason for three.
Let the celebration begin.
There it is. The Chicago Cubs.
There
you go. Kevin Powell in the building, Busch Stadium, as the Cubs go crazy. They win 5-1, the celebration on the diamond right now. And the Cubs clinched the NL Central for the second time in consecutive years. Kevin, what's the atmosphere? What are you feeling there?
Yeah, well, we're underneath getting ready to head into the clubhouse.
You can hear the thunder.
Absorb this celebration, but we can absolutely hear the Cubs fans roaring above us. The seats are ahead of us here. We're like in the bowels of Busch Stadium, but it is loud. It's going to be wild. I expect Cubs fans to be hanging out for a while celebrating this one, Justin. Not sure if you heard, but this is the first time since 1906, 07, and 08 the Cubs are headed to the postseason for three straight consecutive seasons.
Wow, unbelievable.
Haven't seen that in over 100 years. First time they're clinching a title of any sort in St. Louis since 1938. So, Justin, I'll check in with you later.
Sounds
We're about
good.
To head in and absorb this.
Good luck. We'll check in later. Kevin Powell at Busch Stadium getting ready to be doused with champagne as the Chicago Cubs. Look at what they did. They have now been three straight playoff appearances. The first that's happened since, 1906, 1907, and 1908. They win tonight, beating the Cardinals 5-1 at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Right now, this would be on the 158th game of the season. Right now, the Cubs at 89-69. A much-deserved celebration on the field for the Chicago Cubs. As Kevin pointed out, close to 500 at the All-Star break. Think about that. I mean, just to give you those numbers of 89-69, to be 20 games up over 500 right now, it tells you how much success they've had in the second half of the season. We got a big show lined up tonight to celebrate the NL Central champion Chicago Cubs. 312-981-7200. You like the chances of this team? You like what happened in the second half this season? Also, your memories of watching the Cubs clinch in the past. We'd like to hear it all tonight, 312-981-7200. Mark Carman's coming in studio, Kev Powell's at Busch Stadium, and we've got Violetta Padromedic out in Wrigleyville. So we've got a lot going on tonight as the Cubs clinch the NL Central. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and we'll get the festivities started. Stay with us.
Go, 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 Chicago Cubs. Win, win, win that game. Go, go, go. Chicago Cubs.
2017 NL Central champion Chicago Cubs. They clinched tonight in St. Louis at Busch Stadium with a 5-1 win. Mark Carman, WGN Sports, in studio tonight. Join us for the next hour to talk about this I mean, it's pretty amazing to think about the Chicago Cubs 3 years in a row going to the playoffs. The first, I mean, over 100 years since that's happened.
I first of all, Justin, I think we should make this about me and you, because last year at this time, we were doing pregame shows, we were doing hour-long specials.
I love it.
And here we are.
Here we are, we're back.
Back again, the Cubbies, with two straight divisions, three straight playoff appearances, and the opportunity to go back-to-back with a legit shot at it. Up and down roller coaster, the whole thing, but here they are, right?
Here they are, and we'll talk about what to expect from the playoffs, also what got us here. I mean, to think about the Cubs being almost 500 and a couple games back at the All-Star break, and to a team that's now 89-69, 20 games over 500. What a second half. Almost, I mean, if you think about the Cubs lore, it fits in as one of the better second halves in Cubs history.
No question. And Joe Maddon, give him credit, his teams have always gotten better as the season goes along, and that was part of the reason why when they were struggling and under 500 and chasing the Brewers, hey, Maddon's teams always seem to play well in September, and it started a little earlier than that. But true to form, they did.
Yeah.
And, hey, we'll see what happens.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation tonight as we break down the Cubs clinching the NL Central, the 2017 champs. They, of course, will go to the playoffs and play the Washington Nationals in the first round next week.
No problem.
No problem. We'll talk about that as well. Kevin Powell's at Busch Stadium getting ready to be doused with champagne. Violetta Project Medics up in Wrigleyville for any festivities that might spill out of the bars. We got a lot to do tonight here as we celebrate the Cubs. Stay with us. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. All right. Mark Carman's here. We get ready to go as we celebrate the Cubs, as the images on Comcast right now show them spraying champagne all over each other. It's a good look.
One of the great traditions.
It
one
really
of the great
is.
American baseball, societal, it's life.
We were just talking about it. I mean, all the other major sports, there isn't this tradition when just to get into the playoffs. Like if you think baseball, basketball, hockey. They'll get into the playoffs, and after they win a series, they'll celebrate. But there's not this tradition of going crazy about getting into the playoffs. It has to do with the season being
so long.
Yeah,
but 16 of 30 hockey teams make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, that might be part of it.
I mean, come on.
That could be part of it.
162 games. You got to celebrate.
You got to celebrate. It's a long season. Today, yes, the Chicago Cubs beat the St. Louis Cardinals tonight at Busch Stadium to clinch the NL Central, the 2017 NL Central champs. They have the record of 89-69. This was the 158th game of the season. Last year, they did it. We had 17 games left in the season. It was a little bit easier, less stressful, but the Chicago Cubs get it done. They are the champs in the NL Central. They'll play the Washington Nationals next week.
I mean, give them credit. You had Jake Arrieta having his injury. John Lester was on the disabled list. Kyle Hendricks missed a ton of time. It has been just been a lot of injuries. Chris Bryant missed a little bit of time with the finger in and out of the lineup.
Addison Russell.
And they're here. So I think it's a huge question right now as you know, you look forward, well, who's going to start game one? Joe Maddon. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't think, last night Jake Arrieta did not look good, three innings, and he's not going to be 100%, so that's not good. I think it might be Kyle Hendricks, but, you know, and it's a huge decision, too, who starts game one, because if it does go to five, that's your starter.
That's your starter, right.
So, I mean, he was...
And there's also a bunch of roster stuff that they have to decide, including John Lackey. What do you do with him when they already kind of have their starters set up for the playoffs? Mark Carman in studio, WGN Radio Sports. The Cubs, of course, clinched the division tonight, so we're talking Cubs, 312-981-7200. We've got great stuff tonight. Kevin Powell's in the locker room with the Cubs at Busch Stadium. Violetta Podramedic is in Wrigleyville right now as the festivities begin. Mark Carman, of course, in studio. This Cubs team, again, as we reiterate, they had a tough first half of the season, but their second half has been historic. I mean, in the way that they turned the season around, and even as we talked about, the road trip that they're on right now. with 4 games in Milwaukee, 4 games in St. Louis. They made it look like cake.
No doubt. No doubt. It was, oh my God, they got to go to Milwaukee and play the Brewers 4 times, and then they got to go to St. Louis. Oh, it could go so awry. And then, really, they could have swept the Brewers. Of course, there were a lot of close games. Milwaukee could have won them, too. But 3 out of 4, and now down to St. Louis. Could have won last night, too. And it's just showing the separation, right? And then, you know, you go back, Justin, you're talking about, you know, the second half. They start the second half at 44-45.
Wow.
And they had that crazy game with Baltimore where they were up 8-1 or 8-0. The Orioles come all the way back to tie it. Like, first you're at 8-0. I'm like, okay, it's the second half of the season. Great.
There we go.
And then they blow it. Like, oh, my God, it's the same team. And then Addison Russell hits a home run, and they end up winning the game 9-8. And then they just go on a run of, what, 6 in a row at that point, and took 2 or 3 from the Cardinals after that. And you know, came home and played the White Sox, beat them 3 out of 4, went to Milwaukee, took 2 out of 3, and from there it's just over. I mean, they've been rolling ever since. Got back in the first place.
What has been? I mean, you talked about injuries, but what has been the recipe for them to have such an unbelievable second half?
I give a ton of credit to their offense. There was so much, and I was a big believer in, you need Dexter Fowler. That guy's got to be at the top of your lineup. Well, Dexter Fowler was just on the field in St. Louis watching the Cubs celebrate. Not that they couldn't use him, but I think you got to give a ton of credit to John Jay, who's been huge when he's gotten a chance to lead off, which has been a lot, and I think he'll get to do it in the playoffs too. Albert Amora, whenever he was given a chance.
He had a great second half.
Great, you know, batting against left-handers and playing center field. He was fantastic. Ben Zobrist had a better second half. Give credit to Schwarber, too. I mean, he was brutal in the first half. Got sent down, comes back up. His numbers since he came back from AAA have been very respectable. Borderline, I mean, for a guy who's had a terrible season, he's still going to hit close to 30 home runs. That's not the worst year in the history of baseball.
Well, I mean, that brings up a great point, that there's been so much made of the Los Angeles Dodgers, even the Arizona Diamondbacks in the NL, been a lot made on the AL side with Cleveland Indians and their streak, and even the Houston Astros. But because the Cubs started so slow and they were at 500 and everyone was scratching their heads, they haven't had the headlines. But this second half is on par with what you see from some of the best teams that we're talking about. They do have a momentum going into this playoff.
No question. And just, you know, looking at the quotes coming out of St. Louis, Anthony Rizzo's like, hey, never gets old. And, you know, we're excited about going in. We got a great chance. And they do. And Rizzo, I got to tell you, I mean, this guy, 274 the batting average, is on-base percentage up at 400. He's got 32 homers, 109 RBIs. He's a phenomenal first baseman. He's a great leader. And
it's clutch.
He's clutch. He's learned how to hit with 2 strikes. He was a guy who was here when they were absolutely awful and wanted to fight the entire Cincinnati Reds dugout when they were winning 68 games. That's a guy. I mean, I love KB and the MVP and
you
all that.
You put Anthony Rizzo as the heart and soul of this team?
Rizzo's the heart and soul to me. And, you know, I love KB. And Javi Baez, too. Give that guy a ton of credit. Russell goes out. Hey, man, yeah, you're not moving around the diamond or playing second base anymore. You're playing shortstop every single day. You got to lock it down. And, by the way, we could use some clutch performances at the plate as well. And he did all of it.
He had another reason where the Cubs had a great second half. Javi Baez moving the shortstop, not just on the defensive side, who was showing up on SportsCenter plays in the night every night. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, and Wilson Contreras as well had a huge, I mean, he had the DL stint, of course, but before that and even after, making big plays.
Right. And becoming, well, you know, that's, you think about Contreras, then you go to Miguel Montero and his moment where he freaks out because 8 guys stole bases on him, and what am I going to do? Jake Arrieta is the slowest guy in the history in the world to the plate. Don't put it all on me. They cut him, and Contreras actually took off from there because he felt like, okay, I'm the senior guy now, and I got to do it, and he did.
312-981-7200. Mark Harmon in studio. All right, we'll check in with Violetta Padromedic, who's up in Wrigleyville. Also, Kev Powell, who's in the locker room, and more with Mark Harmon here in studio. Again, 312-981-7200. If you'd like to talk about your memories, what you think of the 2017 Chicago Cubs, or just clinch night. And where were you in 1984?
And I'm wondering, like, is this like old hat now? Are people just not that excited? Because, I mean, I was, you know, across the street having dinner at Howell's and Hood waiting to come in here. And I'm like, hey, can you put the sound on? Because, you know, they're about to clinch the division and World Series maybe back-to-back. Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
And there was like 3 people in there.
Yeah, well. They're close.
Where's the excitement?
Where's the excitement, Chicago? The Chicago Cubs. I mean, maybe it is a limit. We'll talk about that. The fatigue, not fatigue's not the right word, but maybe just we've been here before, and let's celebrate when we get closer to a World Series. But again, any lifelong Chicago sports fan knows how impressive it is that the Chicago Cubs have gone back to back to back in the playoffs. Mark Carmen in studio, Justin Kaufman here, 312-981-7200. Stay with us. Chicago Cubs clinch the NL Central. What a night. I love it. I don't see it as old hat. I think it's a great thing, and I love that the Chicago Cubs have once again done it back to back to back, the first time since 1906 to 1908. How crazy is that? Mark Carmen in studio. It is hard to believe, and it feels like with this team, even after winning the World Series, they continue to sort of break down the old myth that is the lovable loser myth.
Teams that win the World Series, generally next year, they don't win the division. And the Cubs were like, we're winning that division. And by the way, I mean, I think it's part two of the three-peat, Justin. Why stop at one? You've got all these youthful fellows. They're in their prime. The pitching's a little wonky, sure, but why not part two of the three-peat? There's no reason to stop right now.
Well, let's find out. I mean, we kind of talk about the idea that is this old hat, or are people getting excited? Let's go to Wrigleyville. Violetta Podramatic standing by. She is at Wrigley Field right now. Are people flocking to, like, pilgrimage to Wrigley Field to celebrate the clinch tonight, Violetta?
I don't know if it was a pilgrimage, but there were about 50 to 60 people right by the marquee at Clark and Addison, and I don't think they're getting bored of winning and celebrating, honking, champagne popping. You can hear people here still singing and screaming, "Go Cubs, go!" And it was still a lot of fun. I don't think they're not done winning.
They're not done winning. All right, Violetta, you are a veteran now of Wrigleyville celebrations. You were you were out there all last year for the playoffs. Do you feel a sense that Clark Street's going to start to fill up, that people are coming out, that this is a celebratory night?
Yeah, definitely, and especially because they're still riding the high from being World Series champs. And they said, I interviewed some people earlier, we'll have that audio pulled up later, but they said that, last year was incredible, and they're looking to do it all over again.
What are you looking forward to? I mean, as you get ready to cover the partying that's going to happen in Wrigleyville, are you excited about that assignment again, or you wish that you would get reassigned to something else?
No, I love it. I love it, but it's a little bit more nerve-wracking. People are saying now they have to defend it, so it's a little bit more than last year. Last year, history was not on our side, but now they have to defend their title, and it's going to be a little bit more work.
Violetta, last year, right, the Cubs have to defend their title, and I think you have to defend your position as the partying reporting Cubs reporter, if that works. Last year, I think you rode on a bicycle. You did other other type of things. What do you have in mind this year? I think you should at least ride one of the police horses around the stadium, something.
Right, yeah, I might be getting too old for this. Are you telling me I'm getting too old for cover this?
No, I think you need to reinvent yourself, though, with a new gig. Something more exciting.
Champagne showers on the street, or is that illegal?
It is Wrigleyville. I don't think anything's illegal up there. Let me ask this. I just realized that this is the first year with the new build out of Wrigley Field. They got the grass there. I mean, are there more people congregating in that area? I'm always thinking they're just going to the corner and just walking in the street, but I guess they don't have to now.
No, definitely. I'm not sure if the store was open earlier, but I did see people with a lot of Cubs bags. I don't know if they were playing the game on the big screen, because there is a big screen right there in the park overseeing the grass. That would be probably a great place for people to congregate. But I think the marquee with the Fly the W hashtag is pretty much the selfie and the picture that everyone wants to get. But they do have, obviously, a lot more space now with the park at Wrigley.
Yeah, that'll change the dynamic when it comes to the postseason in Wrigleyville. Violetta Podramatic covering the celebration in Wrigleyville tonight as the Cubs clinch. Violetta, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. She did a great job last year, and she was top-notch in covering the bedlam that is Wrigleyville, Clark Street, in that area. Texts are coming in at this point. And it's funny because the texts are not necessarily about how great this experience is or reflecting on the tradition and all the great things that have happened in Cubdom. No, they're talking about how the Cubs don't have what it takes to beat the Nationals. About two in a row that say the Nationals are going to sweep these guys out.
All right, everybody settle down. Let's not. When has Dusty Baker ever beaten a team like the Chicago Cubs? Listen, this is it's going to be tough. You got Max Scherzer. You got Steven Strasburg at the top of that rotation. Those, you know, some hard-throwing righties, which it's not going to be easy. I get it. Gio Gonzalez is no slouch, too, from the left side, too. That being said, I got full confidence.
None of those pitchers scare me.
Scherzer's
had a really weird year. He's kind of their Arrieta, where the thought was he was supposed to be more of a Clayton Kershaw, and instead you've seen a lot where 3, 4, 5 innings where he's given up 6, 7 runs. He had a great stretch there in the season, but I truly believe that the Cubs could get to a guy like Max Scherzer.
I'll give you one stat that does frighten me. 197 and a third innings, less than one hit per inning is a good stat. He's given up 125 hits in 197 innings. Wow. That being said, he hasn't seen Chris Bryant step into the dish, baby. He hasn't seen an Anthony Rizzo in playoff baseball. He doesn't know what Wilson Contreras is going to bring to him. Just, hey, if you're going to win the World Series or win a playoff series, period, you're going to have to beat great pitching. That's part of it. They've done it before. They had to take out Corey Kluber last year. They had to beat Clayton Kershaw last year.
Madison Bumgarner.
Bumgarner in against the Giants. So that's part of the deal. They're well aware.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, with a small – who gets the advantage in a five-game series? Do the Nationals, when you have guys like Max Scherzer who you can throw twice, who you can almost depend on to give you a chance to win, does that favor the Nationals in the fact that they got home field and they've got Max Scherzer?
I think that the Nats are going to be favored in the series, and I do think the fact that you have a bona fide number one going and the Cubs are trying to figure out who exactly is going to pitch game one, you got to give advantage to Nationals. That being said, Cubs rotation is four deep and ready to roll, hopefully. I mean, listen, experience-wise, certainly. John Lester's been nails in the playoffs his entire career. He was last year. Jake Arrieta has been a tremendous postseason pitcher. Kyle Hendricks last year pitched phenomenal in Game 7, and I have full confidence in him. And we'll see with Jose Quintana's first trip. The bullpen, you got to love Wade Davis on the back end, but how are you going to get there? So it's, you know, CJ Edwards is going to have to be better than he was last year. Same thing for Pedro Strop, and Mike Montgomery's going to have a lot of his play.
Justin Wilson, right?
Justin Wilson, he better not be seeing much time, but we'll see.
Well, I wonder, and again, the issue comes down to what you do with that fifth starter, John Lackey. Of course, I mean, not necessarily going to be a guy you're going to go to in that series in Nationals. Can he be a guy who eats up innings, third, fourth, and fifth innings, sixth, seventh inning, that kind of thing?
See, I like Lackey actually on the roster. I don't know if he will be, and he's never pitched out of the bullpen, but he's got that postseason history, man, and he's been big in game sevens in his career. The bullpen right now is weak. I'd rather have an experienced Lackey in there than even a guy like Justin Wilson. You're going to have Dunsing, you're going to have Montgomery. I don't need a third lefty. I'd rather have Lackey.
All right, let's go to Busch Stadium in the locker room, getting doused with champagne. Kevin Powell covering the Cubs at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Kevin, how's it going? Your eyes stinging?
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. They just started blasting the music. They just sort of had a little team powwow where they're celebrating. They started chanting 11 more, 11 more, 11 more. That's obviously 11 more wins to another World Series title. Also, a little bit of news here. John Lester, giving a speech to his teammates, just said that they did a team toast to John Lackey after Lester said this is probably his final regular season start. Lackey, obviously not a huge fan of the media, kind of looked at all of us and said, I'll talk to the boys on the bus, and they kind of just laughed and took a swig of their drinks. But, yeah, we'll see here. Maybe we'll get some news in the next few days. Maybe he will announce that this is his final season because he's sort of been reluctant to fully commit to retirement, hasn't really been willing to share that. But John Lester saying John Lackey probably just pitched his final regular season game, and it was a damn good one from the veteran. That was a huge outing from Lackey.
You know, it's funny, Kevin. John Lackey, for all the flack that he gets here, he's had a good year. The guy's thrown 169 innings, 163 hits. His ERA is 4.5 for a fifth starter. That's perfectly okay. He's won 12 games. He was very good tonight. I think he should be on the playoff roster. That's just me. I'd rather have him as a potential. Oh. If Arrieta's hamstring blows out, something along those lines, I'd rather have him there for depth than some of the other options.
Oh, there's no way he's not on this playoff roster. I mean, that's my opinion. Like, especially what I just saw here, the way they rallied around him. I mean, everyone in the clubhouse was just around. I mean, he could be sort of a rallying point for this club. And obviously with that experience, and as you mentioned, Carm, he's had a solid year. And there's some serious question marks with Arrieta, as you just mentioned. He said he had to change his mechanics a little bit yesterday because of that hamstring injury. So who knows what you're going to get there. John Lester just seems frustrated and upset. So, you know, right now, if you ask me, Kyle Hendricks is your game one starter. He's been the most steady, most reliable guy. He's pitched in it before. So, I don't see Lackey not being on this. I think that would, it just wouldn't sit right to me. Like, right. It's just the sense I'm getting that Lackey will be on the roster. And, whether, he gets a start or not, he gives you a ton of options there, and he gives you a little bit of a security blanket. As you mentioned, Carm, with Arrieta and Lester, who you thought would be your two rocks in the rotation, but right now, a little bit worrisome, I guess you could say. But this is obviously huge just to get this thing over with. Now they can rest up. They, none of them have been shy about the fact that they're really looking forward to a few days of rest, particularly Chris Bryant and Rizzo, and those guys are going to get a lot of time off here, and that's huge. You know, you didn't want to go to the series finale in St. Louis with all this stress, and are you going to finish it in St. Louis and have to worry about that? Now they can enjoy themselves, relax, put their feet up for a little bit, and ride this thing out and get healthy and get ready for next Friday in Washington.
Is there an etiquette to this celebration? I mean, is there a time to spray the champagne? Is there a time to talk to the media? Or is it just all happening at the same time and it's chaos?
It's all happening at the same time. You just kind of feel it out and kind of go up to the players when they kind of have a split second. Some of us sort of all flock together. You see a microphone in front of a guy's face. You go towards them right now, a little bottle of Crown Royal being tossed around. They're swigging that. They're swigging beers. They're popping champagne. There's cork littered across the floor of this clubhouse here in St. Louis. And speaking of doing it in St. Louis, none of them were denying the fact that this isn't a little bit extra sweet that they did this in St. Louis. The NL Central goes through the Cubs, and this is where the Cardinals were at just a few short seasons ago. So, it's a testament to what the Cubs have done. They built the foundation. It wasn't a one-and-done thing. This is something that's going to last for a long time. And, they all acknowledge that. They were chasing the Cardinals. It's flipped. The Cubs are the team to beat now for this year and probably moving forward here for the next 2-3 years and maybe even longer.
Decade. Why not?
All right, Kevin, get back to it in there and cover your eyes. Kevin Powell at Busch Stadium in the locker room as the Cubs clinch the 2017 NL Central. All right, so we'll take a quick break here, Carm. We'll come back. Let's get a break, and then we can get to Rob's news. We're falling behind, and we'll come back after the news, and we'll continue the conversation about what to expect from the Cubs in that first-round matchup with the Nationals, but also, the other teams on the other side as well, the L.A. Dodgers. There's a lot to talk and a lot to unpack, and we'll also take your calls, David. I see you on the line, 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
Cubs, 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 here come the Cubs. Cubs, 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 here come the Cubs.
All right, the Chicago Cubs clinched the NL Central with a victory over the St. Louis Cardinals, the first time since 1906, 1907, and 1908 that the Cubs have gone back-to-back-to-back in the playoffs.
Is that all?
What a tremendous, tremendous season for them as they started in rocky first half of the second half. They've been all ball, all world. The Chicago Cubs right now hot going into the playoffs, and that's where you want to be. Mark Carman, that's where you want to be.
And that's where they are, baby. The Washington Nationals starting off on the road. So that's, was that Friday, Saturday on the road, probably a day off Sunday, and then Monday at Wrigley Field for Game 3.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not fired up for a Monday at Wrigley, a little Game 3 outside the marquee? Give me an afternoon Monday, maybe. They'll probably be the
doubtful
night game.
Doubtful will be all nighttime. Yeah. Probably Chicago,
back in the day, you'd get an afternooner. I love an afternoon playoff game. So, I don't know. You split at Washington, come home, take 3 and 4. Let's move along. Let's go, L.A. I'm ready.
The Cubs, as we talked about, the rotation. And so one area is we talked about right at the beginning of this conversation, we talked about the offense really clicking, all the names who have stepped up. But we didn't mention any pitching, especially starters. Let's talk about this because it's Hendricks, Arrieta, Lester, and Quintana. Where are we at? I mean, who do you like to start? Who do you think is the pitcher to ride in this playoffs? Who's going to be the one who steps up to be the legend of 2017?
Well, reading between the Joe Maddon lines, he was asked recently about, who's that number one starter, of course, and he volunteered himself listening to the tape. You know, Kyle Hendricks has been as hot as anybody. So that guy's in the mix. And I actually think it's going to be Hendricks. Because you can't listen. I mean, look at it. John Lester is, I think it's actually pretty obvious it's going to be Hendricks. John Lester has not been healthy and is still working his way back. So I'm going to X him off the list. Jake Arrieta has admitted, he admitted yesterday that, yeah, I've got something in my hamstring that's going to be there. Yeah. And so he got through three innings. You're not going to throw Jose Quintana,
no,
who's never started a playoff game. So I think it's going to be Hendricks in game one.
Okay, well, I would say that...
And that's not an overpowering guy, but...
No, but... And Kyle Hendricks has had a tremendous career at Wrigley Field. And that last year, they kind of... Do you start thinking about the strategy of who pitches where? Obviously, the when I think of the...
That's a fair point.
When I think of the Washington Nationals, I think Bryce Harper, left-handed bat. I mean, he might be a switch hitter. Daniel Murphy, switch hitter, but also from the left side. Ryan Zimmerman. I mean, these are guys that they're big hitters on the Washington Nationals are guys that can hit from the left side. So maybe it is a traditional John Lester who comes in to try and steal one in Washington.
Maybe Lester goes game two, and then you've got, I don't know, however they want to do it. They'll probably go lefty-righty, I would think. So I would think you would go Lester on the road and then Quintana at home, probably. Mm-hmm. But who knows?
Who knows?
And the Quintana's never faced the Nationals. So does that work in his favor? Does it work against him? Most times for a pitcher never facing somebody, it works in their advantage. So however Maddon looks at that, as far as him pitching on the road, all that's going on.
All right, let's go to the line. David, you're on. David, you're there. Are you there?
I am here, boys.
All right,
how
David,
are you?
David, congratulations on your 2017 Cubs.
Congratulations to you too.
Yeah, what would you like to talk about?
I want to talk about just celebrating tonight. I mean, we've come so far. We are the lovable losers, after all. I mean, everyone always putting the Cubs down. We've just come from the depths of despair, and now we've had back-to-back division champions. I don't care who's starting game one. I don't care what's going on in the playoffs. Tonight's a night of celebration. The Chicago Cubs have won back-to-back division championships, and we're going to defend our title.
There you go, David.
What else is there to be said?
Well, you can add on, David, that they won back-to-back titles in 07 and 08, but they didn't win the World Series back then. I mean, you're looking for a back-to-back. You're talking repeat. We're talking Jordan era type of stuff right now on the north side.
We are talking about defending our title, and it's going to be phenomenal. And if you are going to count the Cubs out, I don't care how good the Dodgers have been. I don't care how good the Nats have been. There's no question the competition's a little stronger than last year. No doubt about it. But you cannot count the Chicago Cubs out. We are no longer the lovable losers. Yeah. Theo and Jed have transformed this organization. We are legitimate winners. We're winners.
Love it. David, thank you for the call. That was amazing. Well said. That was a motivational speech. Well, I like that. He's right. We are winners. The Chicago Cubs have is this the moment? Is tonight the night that the Chicago Cubs, I know they won the World Series, so it's hard to say, but the idea of coming back, and it's not a fluke, it's not a one-time thing, is tonight the night that you start to shed permanently this lovable loser myth, this mystique?
He's speaking to the pain of the Cub fan, and I can speak to the pain of the 40-some-odd-year-old Cub fan. And that started in 84 when you were 11, and they broke your heart up two games to none in the Padres, and that's when you realized that life actually wasn't always the greatest thing ever. And then you got to, 89, and they had no chance. I'm going to wipe that off. In 98, they stunk, too, and shouldn't have even been in the playoffs. But then, 03, and up 3-1, and the whole, Alex Gonzalez, I won't mention the rest of it, and never felt more pain in sports ever. And I mean, most Cub fans, or at least I would think a very large portion of the ones that were able to make it to the World Series, thought that they would never see it. Like, that right. definitely crossed your mind.
Because even when the teams were good, I think about the Pinelli years with Derek Lee right. and Aramis Ramirez. When they got to the playoffs, for whatever reason, they'd go 0-12. Everyone would
oh, so
tighten
gross.
Up and they'd lose in three games. That has been the old way of the Cubs. We saw it all the way in every instance you just talked about, up to now.
Yeah, and up to, I think it also gets underplayed for whatever reason. The Chicago Cubs were down 3-1 in the World Series, and they came back and won the World Series. That is so anti-Cub. It's the most anti-Cub thing of all time, and they did it. And for a moment there, it looked like they were going to blow it in Game 7, and it would have been the worst loss of all of them. And somehow, some way,
they came through.
They came through.
All right, let's go to Dan. Dan, what do you want to say, Dan?
Hey, guys, you couldn't have done it without Nacho Man.
I know, right?
Nacho Man was huge.
That's the thing about it. Yeah, it is what you're saying. Thanks, Dan. You're so right. Couldn't do it without Nacho Man. So sick of Nacho Man.
Did you go through his Twitter?
No, I did not go through Nacho Man's Twitter.
I have a little bit too much time on my hand. And I went through Nacho Man's Twitter. He's got things in there like, don't fire the stink bomb in bed. I mean, it's like everything you would think that Nacho Man would say. Nacho Man is one disgusting individual who had a lot of nachos last night.
He had a lot of nachos. All right, so as the Cubs, this will start. I mean, there's still a little bit of time. Obviously, they clinched tonight. They've got next Thursday, next Friday they start back?
I mean, Kevin Powell said Friday. I'm going to take him at his word. That's right. But regardless, whenever it is, you know, they're – wild card game is going to be Wednesday. It'll be Thursday or Friday.
So we got a week to sort out all of this stuff. But I mean, you mentioned, and also, you know, Dave mentioned this as well. I mean, the Dodgers are there. They've had a historical season, and really also the other way too, losing 10 in a row or 9 of 10 towards the end. Cleveland Indians broke records for their wins. The Houston Astros are essentially the Cubs from last year. There's a lot of competition in this playoff. I mean, this is not as much of a like the Giants last year. You got the feeling they were hanging on. They were trying to get, you know, the Cubs were able to take care of them, a team from yesteryear. But this year, all the competition is going to be pretty fierce.
Cubs were the best team in baseball last year from the start of the season all the way through. Started, 25-6? And, you know, Jason Hayward's speech was about, we've been the best team all year. Let's go out and show it and do it. And don't worry about what's happened so far tonight. We're going to win the game. That hasn't been the case this year. And by the way, Twitter is telling me that I guess the NLDS Game 1 is in D.C. next Friday, so mark it down. But they're not. At least they haven't been. But none of that matters. History tells you, I mean, what, the Mariners won 116, didn't win the World Series. There's a long list of teams who had the best regular season record and didn't win in the playoffs. I would want to be facing yeah. Chris Bryant's on fire right now. Anthony Rizzo is right there too. Schwarber, I expect him to have a moment in the playoffs too. Javi's been coming up with 2-out, 2-strike base hits in Milwaukee. I mean,
right. I'll ask you the question because seasoned, Addison Russell, a 3-run homer tonight.
Yep.
He's here. He's back. The Cubs put him back at shortstop. They moved Baez to second. You have Schwarber you have to play out in left field. You have Ben Zobrist, who John Madden's not going to put on the bench because of his former, I mean, he was MVP when he was with the Royals. I'm not sure if he, and he had a huge hit was a huge part of the playoffs last year. I mean, there's not enough players. I mean, Albert Almora had a great second half in the way that people say he should be the starting center fielder. What do you do here?
It's a great question. Listen, you can't play them all. I don't think Ben Zobrist will start every game. I think that he's, and I mean, how are you? You're not going to take Russell out at short, so that means you're not going to take Javi out of the lineup. So that makes Zobrist an outfielder. He's not going to play every game out there. Now, it's an interesting question to me. Would you sacrifice defense in right field if Jason Hayward starts out the playoffs, say 0 for his first 8, and you need offense? Would you put a guy like Zobrist in right, and would you play Schwarber in left? I don't think that'll happen, but it might. And the other option, a nuclear option too, you could slide Hayward over to center. You never know.
Yeah, right.
But, so then who's leading off? These are all. This is why Joe Maddon makes the big bucks. But I would anticipate that Schwarber will start at least two of the games in the series, and which leaves maybe three for Zobrist. I think those two are split in left.
He had such a special playoffs 2 years ago. Last year, what a tremendous came back for the World Series. I mean, this is his time. April, May, not so much. This is his time, right?
No doubt. And the double down the line in Game 7, which put him ahead, and just a quality at bat every time up there, going to see pitches. It's a good problem to have, yeah. But you know what are you going to do? And who are you playing in center field? I guess you're playing John Jay and Almora, but and I also think you know you're going to go through a game where you know Rizzo's going to start. He'll play the first 5-6 innings. If they're ahead, he's obviously going to be out of the game. So a bunch of guys are going to get in. They're not going to, but they won't be starting games.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about the pitching staff quickly as we wrap up here. But Wade Davis is your bullpen. Last year, what an amazing ride with Aroldis Chapman and a lot of naysayers towards the end where Aroldis Chapman was used in the sixth inning, seventh inning. Do you see that again this year? I mean, do you see when these games get tight and it's a 1-0 game or 2-1 game? Do you go to Wade Davis early, seventh, eighth inning? Or has Joe Maddon learned a little bit of play with fire, going to get burned?
Joe Maddon has most definitely not learned, right? And he put it out there a couple of weeks ago that this is something that Wade knows that we want him to do, and he's ready to do it. And you saw it. It freaked me out, too. On September the 15th, Cubs are up 8-2 on the Cardinals in the first game of the series. And here comes Wade Davis in the eighth inning. And I'm sitting there, what are you doing? Game's over. He shouldn't be pitching perfect. Pitching, period. Now, he had thrown for 5 days before the last game he was in was September 10th. But so he throws 1 1/3 there, and then the next day he's in there, and then the next day he's in there.
Stretching him out.
And then the next day they had a day off, and then he was in. He pitched four games in a row. And then he got hit in Milwaukee going 1 2/3 and then 1 1/3. He's clearly going to do exactly what he did with Chapman with Davis because he doesn't trust that bullpen. He's going to stretch him out. I mean, that's going to be part of it.
Wow.
That dude's coming in the eighth. All playoff long.
I'm more interested in the seventh.
He might.
That's where it gets interesting. Right?
He might.
Yeah. Mark Carmen at the Carm on Twitter and with WGN Sports. The Cubs, of course, starting next Friday, and we will continue our coverage of the Cubs here on WGN Radio. Great to talk to you. And, of course, the Chicago Cubs clinching the NL Central. It's good times.
Let's have a month of fun here, Justin. Thanks so much for having me.